Welcome back to The Loose Ball. It's brought to you by the Mazda BT50, the complete package. On today's show, Dylan and I talk about the GWS Giants again, concussion. Enjoy, sit back. The Loose Ball was back for another season. Put the feet up, grab a stubby and enjoy. Mr. Buckley, welcome back to another week of The Loose Ballers. How are you?
Oh, it's good to be back, Xavier, and shout out to Joshy Gallup, one of the biggest TikTokers in Australia. It's been fantastic, and it's good to be here.
Mate, just a quick one. You said, now, this is something that when I moved to WA, I have not missed about Victoria at all, is we had to push back just a fraction because of traffic. It was like 3:30 over there, and you still ran into a shitload of traffic, mate. How do you deal with it every day?
I'm driving around a big Mazda BT50 at the moment and I feel like an absolute boss. So when I'm in the car, even in traffic, I'm sitting up nice and high. I feel like I'm genuinely like a WWE wrestler. Like I feel that big and strong and my ego is so high. So like I actually enjoy being in traffic.
Yeah, okay. So it's a pleasure for you to sit there. You're like, you get in the car and go, jeez, I hope I see some red lines on the side of the road on those meters that show you how long till you get home. You're like, anything less than 45 and I'm disappointed.
In my big Mazda BT50 from South Morang Mazda in Victoria, so it doesn't apply to anyone in WA unless you're going to drive down and buy one from there. I sometimes, if there's like just a little like hatchback in front of me,
do you actually drive the Mazda?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, this is an unbelievable plug from a magical BT50, but right, okay.
If there's a little car in front of me, sometimes I just go over it and I don't even notice in my four-wheel drive.
Yeah, I'm in a ute as well, but I can't mention who or where because it would be conflicting. But yeah, I do similar. Like sometimes even I don't even go up my driveway. I just go through the front yard and just throw it there and just leave it for the night and come back in the morning. It's just, they're just a treat, aren't they?
They're beautiful.
Hey, mate, I need to now we did last week actually we threw it out to the listeners out there, hey, if anyone can think of a punishment, reward, bet that would be suitable for a little dispute that we had whether GWS would make the finals or not. Do you want to reflect on that anyway from what you
I'm so nervous after last week. But in saying that, Giants still actually played pretty well last week. Melbourne were surprisingly good. I still don't think Melbourne are actually going to be in finals contention. Like they might make the top eight. I don't think they're going to have a big impact at the end of the year. They might be in the top eight, but they're playing really good footy at the moment, whereas the Giants nearly should have won that game. But then you see Cornelio, Matt DeBoer and Phil Davis go down, who are three of their really key players, and now I'm quite nervous.
Yeah, okay, good. And I kind of agree. I had a couple of pennies on GWS, so I took your word that you thought they were written a bit, and now I've gone from sending Ted to a private school to the local gov around the corner. But anyway, the Giants will keep ploughing on, but I can't agree with you. I reckon their chance to be 0-6. I've had a look. I reckon they're a chance of being 0-6. And then
so
that stage.
It's Collingwood this week. I'm going to that game on Saturday night.
Yeah.
That'll be a big one. Both teams under a fair bit of pressure. Collingwood not in the greatest shape at the moment either, but you feel like Collingwood probably does get that job done.
Yep. And then I had it, sorry, I'm a bit of paper, but I left it in the car. So you got them. Then they roll into Sydney.
Yep.
Yep.
Sorry, there was no delay there. I just didn't think you were waiting for a response from me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought, oh no, shit, they're in trouble again. And then they just to top it off to go 0-6, they got the Western Bulldogs on a Friday night. So,
you know what's funny about those two last games, Ozave, is the fact that I am not biased. I hope that people know that I'm not biased in this, but Sydney versus Giants is a big game, Battle of the Bridge. These two teams really don't like each other. I don't think it's like the Q clash. Like that's sort of a little bit like it's not shit. It's not as good as what the Battle of the Bridge is. They actually really don't like each other, these two teams.
Yeah.
And then the next game being the Bulldogs, who are in flying form at the moment and actually a team that I feel is back to nearly their 2016 best with their handball chains and the midfielders they've got. The Giants and the Dogs is the biggest rivalry in football. They genuinely hate each other. Like,
In terms of hatred, geez, there's two over here that don't like each other.
Freo West Coast.
Frio West Coast. Well, did you ever play in any of those Bulldog GWS games?
No, I didn't. I only played two games. Thanks for bringing that up. One was against the Cats. We got beat by about 86. And the other one was against Essendon. We lost by about 15. I kicked two and headbutted someone, got reported nearly. So they're not the most fond memories.
Did you ever get rubbed out or anything, did you?
Oh, mate, I paid to play a lot of weeks. My matches would often get taken away from the match review for just stupid things. Not that I was tough or anything like that, but I'd always just get done for wrestling or something stupid and it would always just cost me.
I found the quick guys, the really quick guys, obviously you were a whippet, often would like clumsily just accidentally be running too fast and, you know, think they're going to get to the ball first and then give them a little head high hit or clean someone up or something. And it's not deliberate, but it's more just the high speed. And when you're going at high speed, the uncoordinated nature is fine. Oh, I never had the issue, but I reckon the high speeders do.
Yeah, I never had that issue. I think mine was just the fact that I would play on these quick, small forwards, and instead of chasing them, I'd just tackle them and just get into wrestles.
Yeah. Did Carlton or GWS ever offer to pay your fines?
Carlton offered to pay my fines every time. They literally said to me one day, go out and bash Sirioli. Firstly, couldn't get near him. Secondly, didn't bash him. And thirdly, they didn't pay all of my other fines for the 4 weeks before that. So they said they were going to pay the fines. They never did. And in all seriousness, people laugh about these fines in the AFL, but they're actually quite large fines. Like you can get fined.
Oh, they are.
The first one's $1,500. Second one's $3,000. Third one's $5,000. As a young kid coming through, you're actually paying to play football with these fines that are coming through.
Mate, I can drive home with meth in my system for $400.
I know.
But I wrestle you on the footy field, and it can cost $1,500.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't add up. The old wrestling in AFL football. It's crazy. Talking about not wrestling, but injuries or whatever that pop up. Have you been following the concussion? Do you have any fears about concussion? Yeah, it's obviously the pop topic at the moment.
I think if you play footy now with what's going on, I think it's one of those things that it definitely does go through your mind. And I think what's shown through the history of it is you don't need to actually be one of those guys that get concussions consistently. It can be literally one knock and you might have something forever. So, I did a podcast with Paddy McCartan a while ago and really spoke about it with him, and I learned a lot about concussion and, like, you know, the fact that littlest things in terms of concussion is he had 8 concussions in his career, and those concussions are all 8 different total injuries. So it's not like a concussion isn't like doing a hamstring. It's literally a different injuries the whole time, and different – the different circumstances have different effects to all of them and different timelines, and there's no severities. It could be a bigger bump, less time, innocuous, could be longer. It doesn't hit you straight away, could hit you in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
And it's still so unknown what the side effects of concussion are. So I think anyone that plays sport should just be wary of concussion.
Have you caught up, spoken to Paddy since he headed up towards New South Wales?
Yeah. So I had the podcast with him actually like probably 3 weeks ago before he was up there, and he sort of came clean, told his story about his concussions and how he was feeling and some of the things that he was going through that. Like, mate, if you not to plug my own podcast here, but definitely have a listen to the Paddy McCartan episode, because some of the things that he went through in terms of to get back playing footy, he said that, you know, he lost, and I don't want to misquote this, but he lost a lot of the control with his eyes, and his eyes would often spasm and get locked into certain positions, and he'd just get these incredibly sore headaches and things. And it wasn't the fact that he was having these concussions. The scariest part of it was that he was seeing all these top specialists and top doctors around the world and in the country, and every single doctor had a different diagnosis.
Yeah, it's shit ass, isn't it? Am I right in saying he's not part of the Swans, but he's playing up there to be evaluated by Sydney essentially and potentially be added?
Yep. So he's playing with the Swans. Obviously, his brother's there, Tom, playing some great footy. So Paddy's headed up to the Swans in that East Coast VFL League. And fingers crossed, well, the way the Swans are going at the moment, they're playing some incredible football. But fingers crossed, you know, in this mid-season draft, if he can string some games together, which I know he will, they might take a look at adding him to the roster.
Mate, I used to were you ever a delegate for the AFLPA? Or an alternate delegate?
Wasn't
good
enough for that. No, I wasn't allowed.
No, see, you didn't have to be, because I got wedged into that role and they just made me do it. Like, the big leaders just bullied me and they're like, X is doing it. And I was like, I'm not doing it. I don't have time to do it. No, you're doing it.
I can't imagine you as a delegate.
No, well, you're right. And then the one thing I actually flew the flag on, and I wasn't, you know, apart from the time I put in a case that more free beer should be in the change rooms post-game, as it's so less risk for people going out to car parks and stuff. But I actually did make a really big case once about every single player who gets drafted or brought into the AFL should immediately, before they take the field, have their brain scanned, have the full scan of their head. And then when you finish up, it might be 12 months later, 12 years later, 15 years later, you just do another scan, and just so you've got on file if there is any changes. I went there, and obviously nothing's ever happened. I've mentioned it in many podcasts or whatever, but I just, and people go, well, you can't see concussion and all that sort of stuff, and I get that. You can only see CTE when you're actually dead. But just in case something is there that needs to be picked up that might help you along the way or post-football, I just don't see why they don't invest in, you know, I went and had my hip scanned 15 times on draft just to make sure my groins weren't going to get sore. But the head, they don't even think about it. I just don't get why it can't hurt. It's not one of those things where you go and get scanned of your head and it's going to hurt you or make you stupid or lose your eyesight. It's not going to hurt you, so just do it.
Yeah, mate, it's a good point. Again, I'm not a scientist or a neurosurgeon, but like you said, if you think about that now, having the data to be able to go back and look at the differences over a, you know, 5, 10, 15 year career, it seems makes sense. Because even, like, you know, now my dad and a lot of his mates that have finished up playing footy a long time ago when concussion wasn't a thing, you know, they're all looking really deeply into CTE stuff now, and it's something where they're getting to the stage where a lot of people are affected by this, and they're looking at, you know, getting these scans done, because it is really scary, and you see a lot of.
Have you noticed anything in your dad other than just old age?
No. Well, that's the thing. I think there's a lot of players. So one of his teammates, Kenny Hunter, who is obviously a 4-time premiership player with Carlton. He's been, you know, public with his story with mental health issues, and he did an article in the paper here in Victoria in The Age a while ago saying that he's donating his brain to CTE research. And I think from that it just sparked a bit of a conversation starter for former teammates and friends to go, wow, you know, like, this actually happens. Maybe we should do the same thing and do it, because realistically, if, you know, they're going to donate this and get these scans, it's just helping the people further on down the line so they can have more research for them. Yeah, I would. I'd definitely donate my brain.
I'd donate my brain. imagine they looked at ours and go, no wonder they're no good at footy. It's bloody small.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, I'd have no dramas them taking me brain. I couldn't care less. But it's going to be a topic to follow. I think the AFL is absolutely shitting themselves. The NFL obviously got rolled for an undisclosed massive sum of money. So I reckon the AFL is absolutely shitting their dacks about what might come their way. Moving on from that, though, Dil, because it is a little bit dark. How'd you find the week of footy?
Mate, I loved it. It's a good week. Very good week. Highlight game of the week would obviously be the Brisbane Collingwood match on Thursday night. That was huge. And if you
forget, don't you, when they play on Thursday?
There, oh, it was great. If you think there's no footy gods out there, that, you know, that shows sometimes very quickly turn around. You look at Zach Bailey. Go through what he did, and then the week later, go through what he did with Geelong and nearly kicked the winner there. And then the next week he does the same thing and kicks it against the Pies. And we speak about those times, I suppose, and you'd have a lot more credibility talking about this, and maybe there's some stories that stick to mind. But you look at those crossroads in seasons, and Brisbane, you know, they're 0-2, they're stuck in Melbourne, they're training at a VFL ground in Port Melbourne, and it's either way for them. They can say, poor me, and sook up, or they can go, nah, stuff this, let's get it done. And it just looked like they really responded well to that and used it as a positive and come out for the win. And who knows, we might look back in September, October and go, wow, that was a turning point for them and look at what they've done now.
Mate, absolutely. But also I think, and I know a lot of players who I played with who had kids and stuff from West Coast, so we were travelling every second week, they didn't mind the odd trip away, just a little week away from the kids. It wasn't the worst thing that ever happened. So I know those Brisbane, you know, it was so much different last year with COVID and spending, you know, 4 months in a hub. But, I mean, spending 2 weeks with your mates on the road in Melbourne in footy season is not the worst thing in the world. And I was actually at the pub watching it for my mum's 61st birthday. We were sitting around having a dinner at the Florida Hotel and I said to Dad, because I'm doing a team of the week for the West deal, so I watch every game, but I don't want to know the scores until I watch the game on replay, if I have to watch it on replay, otherwise I just get bored shitless. So I said to the old man, I said, mate, I'll sit with my back to it if you just, you know, remain emotionless throughout the game, because I knew he had a couple of dollars on a few things, especially the Brisbane Lions. I said, mate, if you just remain emotionless through the whole thing, I can then watch the game when I get home tonight. And, yeah, I can ride it like I'm watching it live. He goes, no worries, mate, no drama at all. Now, we'd been at the pub for about 4.5 hours. Well, when Zach Bailey kicked it from 45, he's grabbed me leg and gone, sorry, mate, stick it up your ass. The Lions are home. Oh, anyway, so I at least enjoyed watching that. It was a good game of footy, but a couple of the underdogs getting up as well was always good to watch. The Bombers, who I said would win the Wooden Spoon, I think I can now cross that off the list. I think they've done enough to prove that they won't. And obviously Sydney. Yeah, about those Sydney kids?
Mate, they're unbelievable. Like, it's so exciting for the competition to watch. And yeah, we talk about these young kids. Obviously, they had Errol Goulden. Errol Goulden, sorry.
Errol. No, I love the name.
Oh, you love the name. Yes, Errol. I thought I said Errol.
Yeah, love it.
Because I do love
it. Yeah, no, love
Errol,
it.
Errol, Campbell and Chad, the first three, you know, winning the Rising Stars for the first three rounds. It's the first time to ever happen. But you forget very quickly in footy, players like Heaney, Mills, you know, Luke Parker, who really is one of my most respected players in the game,
I'm
how
with
tough
you.
He is and how underrated he is. And you still got guys like Rampy.
Josh Kennedy.
Playing that's Josh Kennedy obviously as well. Like, these guys are a serious outfit, and we ride people off so quickly, and the Swans were probably just sitting there. You know, maybe they didn't even think they'd be able to have this impact, but maybe they did, but they'd just be sitting back just absolutely laughing at what people were saying about them, you know, finishing bottom of the ladder. And realistically, it's all footy. I'm a big believer in this. Footy is all about momentum, and it's all about confidence. And they've got it at the moment. So if they can stick with it all year, obviously there's going to be ebbs and flows. People are going to get tired, but who knows?
I love how so they've obviously got academy kids playing and quite a few of them. But I love how, like, Sydney and the Gold Coast do it especially as well with their chairman. They're not afraid to fire some bullets back. So, like, obviously a couple of clubs have gone like, nah, we've got to stop these kids coming through the academies and all this sort of stuff. You've had them since the age of 11. And then they fire back saying, you've got six father sons. That's bullshit. You've got a longer history than us.
Yeah.
And I love how, like, whenever you start arguing about whether you should have got the Bulldogs, whether they should have got the number one draft pick, you know, finishing where they finished because he was an academy kid. I love how when it's going against the clubs, they don't think it's a good idea. But with a bit of luck, they might have a number one draft pick come through their system, and all of a sudden it's that, no, everyone should have academies.
Yeah, it's not bad anymore. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you look at Collingwood now with I think it's Nick Dacos, who potentially could be a number one draft pick, I think, coming through. I don't think they're complaining about that anymore. So it's right. You just got to sort of wait your turn, and these things are going to happen. But I'm a big fan of the academies up in Sydney. I think it's a great thing. It is a little bit unfair for, like, the Giants, because realistically there's not many players in Greater Western Sydney playing AFL football. That academy system in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, where AFL is a really dominant sport, has probably taken, you know, 10 to 20 years to develop, whereas, you know, we probably won't see academy players coming through as high picks for another 20 years for the Giants, because it's they're not playing footy there yet.
Mate, I've just been told off by the in-studio producer, Joshy Garlop. I accidentally knocked my coffee over when I went to grab my coffee. So I've actually, on his workspace, I've spilled a cappuccino. So The big fella's not overly thrilled with me at the moment, just shaking his head in disbelief.
Is he having a cup of wino? He's such a wino.
It's a safety cuff and it somehow just disappeared into the surface.
Like, yeah, it's gone. It's just drained.
Now it's forever stained.
It's going to stink too when it gets hot in here. Don't worry about that. Hey, mate, now I've come up with two segments we're going to run, all right? Now, for many reasons, potentially sales can sell it and call it something. So obviously that's one reason why we dust off a little segment or two occasionally.
Love sales. Thank you,
sales. Yeah, and it'll be, this thank you very much to Harvey Norman, or thank you very much to Retrovision, or say something like that. So now, do you want to play this sting first and then explain?
These guys are so sick.
Yeah,
deal.
Oh,
that's
God.
So sick.
I need to line up here, so
the stars hit in. That is the best thing I've ever heard.
Great. So the premise behind this segment, Deal, is going to be, obviously, your buddy Franklin gets a drink card wherever he goes. So it doesn't matter what Bud does on a Saturday, you know, in front of 50,000, 100,000. He's going to get the drink cards. He's going to go straight to the front of the line. He's going to get a wink across the bar. He's going to get handshaken left, right, and centre. He's the man. Now, I want to reward somebody probably, you know, down a rung or two who on the weekends performed at the level that he's getting the drink cards, he's getting the winks across the bar, he's getting the free, you know, entry into the nightclub. He's going to be the king of the bar for the night. Does that make sense?
I love this.
Okay, so and from now on, so I've just introduced it to you. You bring one to the table next week. I'll bring one to the table as well. So we've got two almighty all stars in at the nightclub together with their drink cards. Chasing a girl or guy or whatever they want to do in their own time. So today, the number one nominee for the drink card of the week is Darcy Parrish from the Essendon Football Club. So Darcy, 23-year-old, blonde, good looking. 34 disposals, 10 clearances, 9 marks, 550 metres gained, and just picked up Essendon, who have a big supporter base, and absolutely belted the back out of St Kilda Football Club. So this week's drink card of the week goes to Darcy Parrish. What do you reckon?
Absolutely love it. Very handsome young man too. Loves the slick back of that long blonde hair. What sort of drink would he be ordering?
I reckon he'd be a vodka soda. I honestly reckon he's probably a little bit straight up and down like that. Probably worries about the skin folds. But also he's 23, so the nightclub scene's right up his alley. But he doesn't want to be seen as a party boy. So he's there. He's enjoying the evening. Is Boutique still running in Melbourne?
I wouldn't know. I avoid those places as much as I can.
So he's at Boutique.
He's at Boutique.
He's at the Boutique and he's straight to the front of the line and the people lining up for the hour and they don't have a problem with it. Darcy Parrish, they saw the game. He's straight in front of the queue.
I'm still just like loving that sting more than anything
it's good.
I've ever heard in my life. Like,
hit it again. Should we hit it once more?
One more.
Walking to the front.
These guys are so sick.
All right, so what do you reckon, Dill? Because we're just spitballing a few options. Do you reckon this one stays or goes?
Oh, mate, that is 100% staying. I think that you'd be silly as a sponsor not to jump on board that one. As you were saying that, about 15 people came to mind, so I'm ready for my turn next week.
Yeah, beautiful. And if you just hit Joshy up with the name, he'll cut you a little highlight just to really get me in the mood of the performance beforehand. Yep. So I can see Bottolo, Dan Murphy's, any of that sort of stuff jumping on board. And if the Scarborough Sporty wanted to jump on board, my local haunt, there you go.
That would be huge.
Mate, if you're a Scarborough Sporty, man, Dill, when you come to WA.
I love a Scarborough Sporty.
Yeah, mate, we'll do a Scarborough Sporty one night. It's exceptional. You should have seen the first night we were allowed out of COVID. No, I won't keep going with this story, actually. I might just let that one go. All right, so that's segment one. Now, this one's just a really easy one, and Joshy Garlop's sort of going to run it, and we just have to justify our answers. And it's literally he's going to pick, give us two people, could be from any walk of life, and we have to nominate who would rather be, whose life would rather have and why, okay?
Wait, hang on a sec. So it's live.
Right, okay.
Yeah, oh, whatever. Who would you rather be? Yeah, who would you rather be?
I'd rather be. All right, well, okay. Well, the brief is a bit different.
Oh, and what have you gone with? You're in charge, mate. What have you
got? I was just thinking
give me the brief again, please, Josh.
Two players, I was thinking, who would you rather take right now on your team? If you're starting a team.
Okay, yeah, either or.
We can change it next week.
We'll go to sales. All right, who would you rather take? Because sales need different options.
Okay, so the first one, obviously in the back of Gordon and Errol from Sydney. Rao going down round one.
Yeah.
Starting a team today, do you go with Errol or do you go with Matty Rao?
You go first, Dill.
I think you can't. Matt Rao.
Matty Rao. Mate, it's funny. Gordon will have the Brownlow votes. He'll poll early too. I'm going to go Matty Rao as well. But I've got my binoculars on Matty Rao. I love him to death, but... two big impact injuries, which is just bad luck. But he wouldn't want to see a third. So I'm going Matty Rao, but Goulden has been tremendous early in the season.
All right, so we'll lock that one in. Back in this one now. So we've got Liam Ryan, absolute superstar of the game currently. Yep. Flying Ryan, flying around the ground.
I don't even need to hear the next person.
Sorry, Nat Fyfe. All right, this is a very WA one. Oh. Is Liam Ryan now, you know... do you guys see him with the same sort of impact in the game as a full flight Nat Fyfe, even with all his current injuries and age?
Wow.
Who would you rather have starting a team, flying or Fyfe? Dill?
This is actually super tough, to be honest. You're under the spotlight. I love flying Ryan so much. But if you're starting a team...
who would you rather in your team?
I'm very, very... big on not riding off champions, and I think Nat Fyfe is. I think he will be a champion by the time he finishes. So I think you got to go Nat Fyfe.
Yeah, pretty obvious for me. I mean, Flying Ryan does some super flashy things, but Fyfe can pick your team up and just win games for you. Liam Ryan's highlight package will look better than Fyfe's at the end. Fyfe's will go for about 6 hours longer.
All right. Now you're the full forward again with all these rule changes. Tex Walker, Hawkins, obviously, mate of yours. Who do you pick? If you're going into a game this weekend, you got to pick one full forward out of the two. Who do you pick?
I love Hawk, one of my best mates, but I'm going the Texan. Mate, there's been nothing more exciting about footy this season than what Tex Walker has been pulling out his ass. Like, he had mid-20s on the weekend, kick six. He's out there playing like Wayne Carey. Dill?
I said this before, you do not ride off good players, and... nothing has made me happier than Tex just coming out with a bang this year and absolutely dominating after all the shit, you know, and probably rightfully deserved. He wasn't performing to what he could, but he's come back and he's found that form. They were talking about him retiring at the end of the year, and people didn't want him to get another contract.
If he wasn't contracted, I reckon they would have asked him for sure. I reckon they would have sent him if he didn't have this year already on the contract. But I can proudly say, and Josh, you can attribute this, I've been on Texas Mountain alone all last year.
You were the last one.
I was the last one standing there, Dill, just getting pounded on Tex Island. Anyway, so we're both locking it. Sorry, pounded by waves. I'm sorry, I'll just stipulate that. So I'm the Texan.
That's clear.
And then final one, bit different. Tom Hickey having an absolute breakout season. We saw what he did with West Coast filling in, but Tom Hickey versus your second tier ruckman.
Okay.
So not Grundy, not Nick Nat.
And not Gawn. Okay.
Not Gawn. But even like maybe even Riley from...
O'Brien, English, those sort of guys.
Yeah, so...
yeah, okay.
Would you put him up there if you're picking a team this weekend?
I'm going Tom Hickey. Yeah, I'm going Tom Hickey before English and Riley O'Brien and those guys. This weekend, I'm going Tom Hickey. He's been in the best five players at Sydney nearly every round this year. So Tom Hickey, who shocked me that he... got given a 3-year contract. I was surprised he got that length, but he's bought into that Sydney way, and good on him. I'm Tom Hickey all the way. Dill?
I'm a big Tom Hickey fan. I've actually good mates with the great man himself, and his career is incredible. He came from not even playing football at all to going to the Gold Coast, traded to the Saints, up to West Coast, and now over at the Swans. He's an absolute journeyman, and the big man is really playing some good footy. The best thing about him is he actually hits the scoreboard.
Yeah, he's kicked goals, hasn't he? I think he openly says that the St Kilda contract was a ripper. I think he was pretty happy with those numbers.
He's so good. He's the most down-to-earth bloke you've ever met in your life. He's like literally just DGAF, I think we would say, in this show. Yeah. He's a champion.
Yeah, nah, lovely, mate. Well, so what do you reckon? Two segments like that. Next week, we can do anyone from around the world, like a Donald Trump or a Joe Biden. Yeah, that's just make it really.
Okay, throw it right out there.
Throw it out there, Kim or Vlad. Who do you want to be? That sort of
and
stuff.
And if anyone listening wants us to compare your favorite players in the comp, send some into the Instagram page, and we can answer them for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just might have to wade through the Instagram page that's got me getting smashed on it. From
that was interesting this week.
Far out, mate. Don't encourage him. A bloke wanted to fight me deal after the Channel 7 game. Text saying he wanted to meet up for a fight.
Why? Because your team, what'd you do?
No, I don't know what I did anyway. He's like, I don't know what your future is, but if you ever want to have a box, I'll fight you anytime. I respected you as a player. I don't respect you now.
People get so upset.
So, like, you're encouraging him to
coverage on Channel 7.
Anyway, so I wrote back, meet me, and I gave him my address anytime you want, and he hasn't turned up yet. No, I didn't do that. I said, mate, there's three reasons why this can't happen. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I can't fight, and I can't lift my arm above my shoulder. Have a lovely Easter. I hope your family's going well. So I wrote that back to him. Anyway, next morning, woke up, he's like, I'm so embarrassed. That is ridiculous. I should never have written that to you. I'm humiliated. I was drunk, and I thought it was funnier than what I wrote it.
Most of the time you go back to the keyboard warriors, they're all good people. They just make stupid mistakes. They probably don't think you're even going to read it. They've had alcohol. But then there's the other ones where you go back and they actually come back harder and you think, oh, okay, that didn't go the way I thought it was going to go.
Yeah, no, and a lot of them attribute being on the piss to, sorry, mate, I was drunk when I said it. And you're like, oh, whatever, no dramas. But anyway, that's a story for another day. Dill, all the best, mate. Get home safely. Enjoy the ride. I think I just looked at the traffic report from Melbourne. What suburb are you in?
I am in Northcote.
Yeah, no, 45 minutes, I reckon.
45, from your office good day, to Northcote. I reckon. I might get home by next week.
Do you go up Hunt Road?
Yeah, Punt Road, shaking hands, kissing babies on the way home.
Good man, mate. Enjoy the journey. Look forward to catching up. Have a good week. And
thank you, gentlemen.
What's your sign-off that you do? What's that? I quite enjoy that.
Oh, it's been real. It's been good. Just hasn't been real good.
Yeah, I like it. Good on you, mate. Have a good week. And look forward to catching up.
See you, boys.
See you, bud. Thanks for joining the Loose Ballers again, brought to you by the Mazda BT50. It's the complete package. Don't forget tomorrow, the two-minute warning, myself, Ryan Daniels, and Nick Rin. Sit back, have a good night, and we look forward to touching base soon.